You know, I'm so mindful today of how sacred our moments together really are. We are gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to worship Him, to honor Him. We're here to receive from Jesus Christ Himself. How many would say amen?
Amen.
And our desire, our deep desire, is that we would be part of the fulfillment of that prayer. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, include us in that, King Jesus. Make us part of that. How many would say amen to that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know, I think that the song, the tone of the meeting is perfect for today's message as we continue on in our Like a Tree sermon series. Can't believe we're at week 8 already. And I have to, I'll describe it to you this way. I came in today with a special burden of the Lord upon my heart. Not in a negative sense, but in the weightiness of what we do, the weightiness of what we're called to. Like, we're going to see Him face to face one day. I hope the eyes of your spirit can see that. That we're living more than for now. How many know we're living for the day that He comes back, and we want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." My prayer is that He would put a deep fire in your heart for that day, for that great morning when the sun rises, but it's not the S-U-N, it's the S-O-N. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. He's coming soon. Prepare your heart, prepare your life. Jesus is coming soon. Come on. How many believe that? Jesus is coming soon. So it's like it's in the context of that I want to talk to you today. This is kind of like a dad talk. You know, I got my pastor dad hat on today, and they're all important, feel especially important today. But let's read. We're going to read as we've done. We've read Psalm 1, at least verses 1 through 3 throughout the whole series. I've started to change up the translations just to give you another view of this wonderful truth, this magnificent illustration. Imagine God gave us a tree, this simple illustration for you and I to understand God's will for our lives. What is God's will for your life and mine? It's that we would be privately healthy and publicly fruitful.
Amen.
When you look at a tree, you know below ground that there's something going on that makes that tree so strong, so beautiful, so enduring. And that speaks to us in a spiritual way. Amen? How many want to be just like a tree? I want to be like a tree. Amen? Great prayer to pray. Okay, so let's read this together. This is the Good News translation. Oh, let's read it together. Come on, out loud. It's good to read the Bible out loud. Ready? Here we go. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil people, who do not follow the example of sinners, or join those who have no use for God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream, that bear fruit at the right time, and whose leaves do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. May the word of God be true among us. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Powerful. Now, we spent a number of weeks speaking of below ground living, where you attach to the Lord in private. But sooner or later, you got to come up out of the ground. And when you come up out of the ground, this is where you start to understand God did not plant you just to bless you. He planted you to make you a blessing. In John 15, 16, look at these two verses. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And everybody say that word, appointed. Appointed you. Everybody say, that's me. You see? So when we look at the topic that we're addressing today, I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a Christian, you have been appointed by God. Amen. Before the foundations of the earth, you were appointed. You were chosen. Amen. Right? How many know when we weren't looking for him, he was looking for us? Not only was he looking for us, but he had a great plan for us. Look, it says, appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Fruit that will mean something in eternity. Not the trophies of this world, not the promotions of this world. I'm talking about kingdom, generational impact, impacting for all of eternity. That's the kind of fruit that he wants us to bear. And he says, and so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you, which is a clue to having a, if you want answers from God, you have to pray along God's plan for your life to be fruitful. God answers those prayers, not the prayers for ourselves, but the prayers that God intended for us to be a blessing, to bring him glory. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do, one more time, read it with me, good works. You were created to do good works, watch, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So before the foundations of the earth, right, there are verses that say, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were even a twinkling in your mother's eye, God already knew you. And not only did he know you, but he had a plan for you. A plan for you to do great works that would bring him glory. And he never, God doesn't want to bless others through you and not bless you. He will bless you. But part of really being a blessing is that you bless others with your life. Right? That's one of the secrets of actually being a really blessed person. So as we start to focus on our life above ground, we have to understand we attach in private so that we can bear fruit in public. We've been giving, there's two sides to life. Maybe you just came in today, you're a first time visitor. So there's two sides. When you look at a tree, there's two sides to your life. Everybody is like this. You have a private life that no one sees. You have a public life that everyone sees. That's life for everybody, just like a tree. Now, the way it's supposed to be is that first you have your life with God that you develop, and we've talked about how to develop a strong attachment. It says that tree is planted by streams of water. So notice, like the stream, imagine the living streams. He says, for out of you will flow streams of living water. When you meet Jesus and you really plant in Jesus, there's these streams just between you and God. And as the streams of God flow into your private life, then above, the flow of God, the blessing of God comes out of your public life. You don't have to force it. It just flows out of you. Attach and flow. That's the way it's supposed to be. But when you come up out of the ground, part of the context is that you have to understand, I am called to be a servant. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. Jesus spoke about this in so many ways. He demonstrated this in so many ways. And as a servant, just like a tree, here's what happens. You come up out of the ground, and guess what a healthy tree does? A healthy tree reaches out. The title of the message today is Your Reach. One of my questions is, where are you reaching? Are you reaching out? like a tree. It's God's will for us to reach out to this world. He ministers to us in private, and then he wants us to reach out just like him. That is the beauty and the glory of the magnificent kingdom of God. And remember, and I want to take a minute to give you a little bit of a theology, Christology, like so that you really understand Jesus himself, because Jesus is the prime example. The Bible says that the Son of Man did not come to be served. Even though he was the king, he did not come to be served. But he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let me break this down for you in a moment, right? The incarnation was voluntary. Okay? The incarnation of Christ. When God took on human flesh, it was voluntary. You see? So think about this. In eternity past, before time started, before there was the clock started ticking in time, God always was. Okay? There had to be a first cause. People try to go back and what came first, the chicken or the egg? I'm going to tell you what came first. God came first. Okay? And he always was, because no one could create God. God is the only being that it was eternal. And in the eternal perfection of God, there's three in one. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, nobody would think about this. If God was only one instead of three in one, then God actually would be lonely. But in his perfection, he's three in one. When people say, how could God be three in one? He has to be three in one. It's part of his perfection, because there was perfect love and relationship within the Godhead before anybody was. God didn't make you and me because he needed us. He made us because he loved us. Okay? Now, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. And then when the fall comes, Jesus volunteers. He takes on human flesh. And here's what he did as a servant. He emptied himself. He left the beauty and the comfort of glory in heaven to take on the form of man. You understand? This, him becoming one of us, was not like a luxury item. You see? He was the King of glory already. But not only that, right? He chose to become a servant. He stepped off the throne of glory and power to serve people. Who served Jesus? Nobody served Jesus. Even right before he was going to die, think about Jesus. The night he's going to die, he's taking off he wraps a towel around him and he's washing their feet. The Son of the Most High God, the Prince of Princes, the King of Kings, came to serve. That's what he did. And then lastly, right, he offered himself in our place. He took on what was most foreign and most detestable to his nature. And he carried it, the darkness of our sin. Jesus is the consummate example, the perfect example of what it means to be a servant. And aren't you grateful that he came to serve us and give us life? Come on, can we praise Jesus? Come on, let's praise Jesus right now. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says that because of what he's done for us, we should no longer live for ourselves. We should live for him who died for us. Amen. So everything that we're talking about is in the context of us being servants of the Most High God. And I want you to know, a lot of reasons why Christians get stuck is because they don't serve. A lot of reasons why Christians get down and depressed and discouraged. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. I heard my father-in-law said this, inspiration without expression leads to depression. You are made to give. And you become the best version of yourself when you give like Christ gave. So, and you'll never discover the full joy of who you were meant to be until you start being a servant like Jesus. And so how do we do that? We do that by reaching out. So I want to take the next few moments to talk about the different ways that we actually reach out. How does a tree reach out? And we're supposed to reach out just like a tree. So number one, we're called to reach towards his light. We're called to reach towards his light. Now, where do we get this from? We get this from an actual tree. When a tree comes up out of the ground and trees spread out their branches, part of what a tree is doing is it's reaching towards the light of God. Why? Because it's nourished by God's light. And so there's there's something called phototropism, where branches of a tree reach towards light. Anybody ever have a plant in the house and you put the plant by the window and the plant is like this? So what's that plant doing? Being wise. Why? Because it's reaching towards light. You see? There's a wisdom, there's a blessing. And if you're really going to become the tree, you have to reach towards God's light. In other words, in God's will, there's something very spiritual, very holy, where as you reach, whatever God's plan is for you, and think about every tree, a unique tree with unique fruit, according to the plan of God before the foundations of the earth. This is like a great forest. Every tree is different. Every one of us bears fruit differently. But in what's uniquely true to all of us is that we are our best and our healthiest as we reach towards light. You understand? So if you're reaching towards something and it doesn't include the holy will of God, the light of God, you can reach for self, but you won't be fruitful on that branch. So God has a way of having you reach out, fulfill his will, be blessed, be strong yourself. All of it is happening, but part of it means that you have to reach towards light. And what that means is this is good because this gives you something to think about. Today's message is you need to think about these things. Are you reaching towards the light of God, or are you reaching towards what you want? Right? Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Is it my will or your will? These are important conversations towards health. You see, because if you're reaching towards something, if you're reaching towards someone, and it's not God's will, it's not really under the smile of God, under the light of God, I'm telling you right now, it won't be blessed and it won't be healthy. Universally true. So this is a very, very important thing, is that as you're reaching out, you must always consider the will of God. Very important thing. Now, another part of this is that you can't reach out even towards his light if you're not planted well. You have to be planted in order to reach. Now, here's how that translates to us. It's very, very important. See, a lot of people, they have more American perspectives, which are very, let's call them consumeristic, right? And so they think that being part of the kingdom of God is like being, it's like, I go to Target for this, I go to Mariano's for that. You understand? I go here and I go there and then I go everywhere. So, and guess what? I'm planted nowhere. But you can't reach if you're not planted. You have to be planted. See, when you're planted, then you can really start to reach out. But if you're not planted, if you have a perspective like, oh, I'll go to this church this week, I'll go to that church that week, I'll go to this church that week, you don't understand. And here's what I want to give you very quickly so that you could think about these things, is there are dangers. Four dangers to the transplanting of a tree. Okay? So the first danger of transplanting a tree is root loss and dehydration. I've watched this. So many times, someone gets offered a job. When they go to, okay, it's a $50,000 raise, and so they're gonna move, right? What's our first question? One of my first questions is, have you found a church there? So a lot of times, someone say, well, we'll find one. I'm like, don't do that. Okay? So you tell me, what's better, $50,000 raise or a dried up life? Over and over again, people go and they don't realize that they get dried up because they make a move based on something that has nothing to do with their being planted. And they jump around from one church to another, they move from one place to another. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be like a tree. And guess what? Trees are planted. You see? And so I want to talk, even if you're a visitor here, I need to say this right up front. Look, Chicago Tabernacle is one of many churches. It's as imperfect a church as you will find. Okay? We don't have the corner on the market on truth, on light, on anything. We're just trying our best to serve Jesus faithfully. Yeah. Right? And we root for all churches. Any church that's honoring the Bible, may that church be blessed. Okay? So we don't compete for people. We don't compete for sheep. I was taught this way. We rejoice when people come. We rejoice when people go. If God is moving you on, then so be it. Praise the Lord. Look, honey, I can't remember your last name. Daruthi. So, honey just came back today. Honey is my Cuban sister. She was at our church from the beginning. She went to New Zealand. Now she's in San Diego. She came back, said hello. And you know what? We rejoiced when she left. She was a woman of God then, and she's a woman of God now. Come on, let's praise God. Hallelujah. It wasn't like she left the church. She's like, oh, don't talk to honey anymore. That's crazy. It's silly. Right? We're all part of God's kingdom. Right? I was saying this earlier. You know, if you go to the Becoming track and you become a member, we don't put a tracker on you. You know? Which I think is a good idea. I want to talk to the deacons about it. Right? It's like, come on. But let me tell you something. Be careful. You bounce around and bounce around and bounce around. You'll dry up. Find some place and root there and be like a tree. You see? And if you are transplanting, be very careful about the process. Okay, let me tell you a little bit more about this. Then there's transplant shock. Transplant shock takes place because when a tree actually plants, there are these networks of nutrients. There are these connections that create health. It's a variety of different things going on below ground. Too many to actually, there's even an adapting to the soil. There's all of this stuff happening below ground. And then you rip up the tree and you try to move it. And then all of those variables are missing, and when they try to transplant the tree dies. It's just in shock because all of the typical ways of being nourished are gone. Now, let me tell you something. It's really good to stay at the same church. Let me tell you why. As long as it's a healthy church. I'm not telling you to stay at a church that you don't deem as healthy. Go someplace that's honoring the Bible, right? The Bible is the primary guidance. Is the word of God preached and honored, right? And does it manifest in the lives of the people and the leadership? But the point is like, so one of the reasons why it's so great is because when you plant someplace, then people really know you. You see? And if they really know you, they can really help you. A lot of people, they bounce around. If you're at a good church for a couple years, you're going to learn like 10 good phrases. Privately healthy, publicly fruitful. You're going to have all these phrases. You go to a new church and you got phrases and they're like, whoa, this person is sharp. But are you really sharp? Or do you just have the stuff that you picked up from the other place and you sound good and you look good, but you're not good? When you really plant, people can tell you if you're good or not, right? It's like Tim Keller said, here's how you know you have a problem in your marriage. You ready? Your spouse tells you. So if you don't plant, you don't have real relationships with people, right? And it's through real relationships that we grow. So if you want to be fruitful, you got to be planted. Wherever that is, right, you got to be planted. But just know the tracker's going to let me. No, let's keep going. Right. So then, planting depth errors speaks to the same thing. You see, like, how deep are you? How deep are you? When you're in the body can discern that and help you, right? And if you don't get planting depth correct, it's interesting, but trees die. Then it's a remarkable thing. And then the last thing is poor seasonal timing. Now, I want to encourage you to be very prayerful and thoughtful. You know, like what church you go to is one of the most important things in your life. You're supposed to be planted in the kingdom of God, you know? And just because you go to Amazon to compare prices or you go here, don't do that with the church. Find out where you belong and plant there. And look, all churches are imperfect because the minute you get there, this church, the primary reason why this church is imperfect is because of me. Okay? And so we're all imperfect. How many would say amen? We're just imperfect. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't think, plant me, Lord, because if I'm not planted, I can't reach, then you won't be healthy. I don't care how many sermons you listen to online, okay? Which, by the way, if you're watching online, it's time to come back to church. Let's go. Come on. Why? Because we're missing out and you're missing out. Which brings me to the next point, which is also very, very, how do you reach? You reach towards its light. In other words, it's very spiritual. You're in the will of God. And let me just say one thing. If you're going to move churches, I said this first service, okay. You need to be very prayerful, and I want to encourage you. I want to really encourage you that to talk to the godly people that he's put over you. That's right. You know, talk to a pastor, talk to a ministry leader, talk to like your real godly friends in the church. And here's what you need to say. You need to say something more like, if you go to someone, and this is almost 100%. If you go to someone who's really spiritual and godly and you say to them, hey, God told me I need to do this and God, I need to do that, then here's what they're going to say. Well, I don't want to argue with God, so God bless you on your way. But that's not the way to say that. The way to say is, I think that God might be leading me this way. Would you help me confirm God's will? That's a horse of a different color. That's a whole different conversation. So if you walk around and say, oh, I spoke to so-and-so, and you spoke to people who are not responsible for you and the Lord, right? People who they rather be friends with you than be friends with God, then you're not getting the right advice, and it's a very dangerous thing to just be transplanted. Okay? So be humble about it. Don't be stubborn. Be humble. get advice in a very humble and godly way, so that if God wants to warn you or protect you or deliver you from evil, then you're making yourself available to receive that. How many would say amen to that? Come on, somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. So we reach out towards his light, and then here's the second way that we reach out, just like a tree, is we reach out towards his people. Okay? Now, this is a play on words, because God loves all people. Okay? So I want you to, you know, think about this. But when God plants you, he plants you with a plan, and he has his people so that you reach towards what is ordained by God. And here's what I mean, right? So the first place that you reach is you reach to your God-ordained family, right? So if you have a family, how many know that the greatest place to be godly is to your own family, right? We don't want to like be godly on the outside and then not godly at home. And by the way, even if you're having problems in your family, work it out if God has ordained it. Okay? So just like last service, the people are going like this, amen. They're pushing it out. Okay? They're like, ugh. Okay? But look, this is very, very important. You know, if you're married, think about this. Mom and dad, think about this. Now, I know there's dysfunctional situations, right? And those things need to be addressed, and that's part of the reason why the church is here, you know? But there are people that God has put in your life to be your family. Work it out by the grace of God. You know what I mean, right? You know what I don't mean, and you know what I mean by that. But then there's God-ordained friends. You know, so there are friends that God wants you to have, and there's friends that God doesn't want you to have, right? Reach out to the friends that God wants you to have, you know, and if he doesn't want you to have them, then don't have them, because they're not going to help you. They're not going to bless you. That's the whole psalm starts that way. So who are your God-ordained friends? And even in the context, friendships, even in the context of marriage, brothers, sisters, date godly people. You know, God-ordained relationships are relationships that are blessed. You know, serve in the church. Do you know how many people go to a church? They can go to a church for 15 years, and they never even put a thumbtack in the wall. Right? Meanwhile, you are made by God to serve the body of Christ. You see, imagine the power and the strength of the church if everybody served. Right? There would be no overload on schedules, because many hands make the load light. Right? So if you're a tree, you should be serving. You should be somehow. Where are you planted? How are you stretching out and serving and being a blessing? So even your workplace. Look, after first service, I was talking to a brother who most of his staff, most of the business that he works in, is these people are, they're Muslim. And you know what? He is a witness. By the way, listen. There's no benefit to being weird. So when you go to work, your work is very sacred. You spend so much time there. Okay, and if you walk around and you're just preaching all day, you're going to be looked at as if you're weird. Okay, so let your integrity, let your character be your message, right? Let your faithfulness be your message. Become such a great worker that when people look at you, they go, what is it about you? That's when the door opens, and now they gave you permission to start sharing Jesus. Amen? How many would say amen? Say grace when you eat. Put your Bible on your desk. So anyway, I was talking to this brother, and he's like having these beautiful exchanges with them, and he's like starting to play little Christian devotionals for them. And he told me that he's gotten such a great relationship with them that one of the wives said, hey, could I have a Bible? He gave her a Bible. Right? You realize your work is a sacred place to God. Right? And we're supposed to. Does everybody know you're a Christian at work? Even without preaching, how many know they can know? They can know by what you say. They can know by how you speak. If your mouth is clean, if when you get stressed out, you don't start saying all kinds of dirty things, there's something different about that person. So these are branches. Where are you reaching? When you go home today, I'm taking up the whole time today just to talk to you. And you got to make your own altar call today. You got to go home. And, you know, like every one of us has an impact to make. I heard today, wait, it just popped into my mind. I heard that the president of the company that redid this building for Stolson is here. Is he here? Is he here someplace? Where is he? Raise your hand, my brother. There he is. Hey, how are you? Come on, let's put our hands together. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that guy right there. Let's go. Right? That's funny. Everybody has a role to play. You know what part of his role is? And these are Christian people. I know. That's why I'm really pointing them out. Because these are real Christians. Right? They built that wall. They built this. They built that. Come on, hump. Didn't they do a good job on this place? Let's go. Construction workers can be like trees. A sister came in after church, and she runs a dental office, and she's like, yo, I'm talking about private health and public fruitfulness with my employees in my own subtle way all the time, and I'm praying. How many know you could run a dental clinic, and you could be just like a tree? We're called to reach out, right? So very, very important that we understand that we're reaching towards his people right now. As we reach towards people in the different areas of our lives, just remember, we're also reaching as members of the body of Christ. Okay? So look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So when you think about being like a tree, right, and being planted in the house of God, it switches from a tree being in a forest to the different parts of a body. And this is very, very important teaching right now. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because every part, every person here is like a different part of the body, right? And so when you think about serving the body, you have to understand that serving the body means that you're connecting and serving a diversity of people, right? As opposed to the same kind of people. One of the reasons why people don't plant well is because of a phrase that I want to give you, a word, a term. It's homogeneity. Okay? Homogeneity. What is homogeneity? It's the state or quality of being uniform, identical, or composed of similar parts throughout. It describes a lack of variety or diversity, and in social settings, it frequently limits diverse perspectives and can lead to exclusionary practices. Okay, this is going to mean something in a moment. Just walk with me. So about 30 years ago, like when I was more than 30 years ago, a great book came out that talked about, this was more for pastors. But one of the things that I really struggled with, there was one thing that I struggled with the book, is they say, you got to figure out who your target is. Okay, so this was their church's target. He's this guy, and you know it's 30 years ago, you see the kind of the beeper there? And the flip phone, right? So watch, he's well-educated, he likes his job, he likes where he lives. Health and fitness are high priorities for him and his family, right? And on and on and on, right? So this is, they say, this is your target. I've actually, over the years, been part of a lot of things that says, this is your target. So, but who is the target of Chicago Tabernacle? Everybody. Red and yellow, black and white. Right? How many think heaven is going to look like this? Come on, how many would say amen? Now, let me tell you, though, why, if you could leave this up, let me tell you why a lot of people don't serve in the body. Okay? And they don't become healthy as a result of it. It's because they like homogeneity. You see? So, some people define community as people from the same neighborhood, as people who understand where you grew up. They like the same things that you like. It's everything about you. But the body explanation of health is like, I had a number of months ago, I had cataract surgery. You know how you define whether one of the parts of the body is healthy, right? It's like, oh, I can't see through this eye. So they fixed it, right? So if health is determined by how this part of the body serves the rest of the body, you see? So you're not healthy if you don't have a heart to serve the whole body. But the Bible doesn't say eyes hang out with eyes, right? Right? A man, hands hang out with hands. That's not health. You see? I only want you like, it's like, you know what? I'm white from the suburbs and I don't hang out with anybody but that. I'm black. I only want to hang out with black people. You know, I'm Puerto Rican. I only want to hang out with Puerto Rican people. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, that is not healthy thinking, healthy living. It's not the way we're supposed to be. And here's how it translates. I might keep you a few minutes. Here's how it translates, okay? So it's like, there's a variety expressions of this, So have you noticed that like single people hang out together, right? And then one of the single people gets married. And now all of a sudden they're married and then they never talk to their single friends anymore. Can I tell you, don't do that. Okay, so like invite them over for dinner. Let them get exposure, right? Let them learn from your new experience, right? It's a funny thing is you don't know what marriage is like, but once you get married, you're married 6 months, you're married a year, let me tell you something, all of a sudden you understand marriage, right? If you're single and you want to get married, don't get advice from single people about marriage. Right? They're just talking to each other. You don't even know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't care what book you or podcast you read. Oprah said this. You know? Or if you get married, right, why not talk to an older couple? Have dinner with an older couple once in a while. Right? Because there's things that you learn along the way. You see, and isn't the body beautiful when we're all connected from top to bottom? The older serve the younger serve the older, right? There's this beautiful diversity, but a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like that. I have to say it. A lot of people don't like that. You know, it's really hard to have a church that's mixed because people don't like to mix. You know, People don't. They don't say, well, I don't know how to relate to them. Well, learn how to relate to them. Right? Learn about someone else's culture. You know, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You ever go to another country and try to speak their language and you butcher it and they laugh but they still want to hug you? It's because you're trying. You're trying to connect. Isn't that what reaching is all about? Isn't trying to connect with someone who's different what reaching, real reaching, is all about? And so this is such a big deal for all of us, because a lot of times one of the reasons why people don't serve and they miss out. So last illustration, we'll close. So I was thinking about this week. Actually, I see Tom here. So Christian Baker, who heads up our youth ministry, he's actually with the kids right now in another building. He grew up in Southern Illinois, went to New York. He's African-American. Tom Muldoon grew up in the suburbs, right? Tom Muldoon grew up in the suburbs. And so Christian's African-American. He's Caucasian, right? And actually, we just prayed for Tom. He lost his brother, and we've prayed, and we've been standing with him. But this is his church. That is our brother. His loss is our loss, right? But Tom serves our youth. So this guy from the suburbs is serving these youth who come from profound brokenness and all kinds of stuff, and he's sharing love, he's sharing wisdom and all that. And then while we were like getting this ready, then I was talking to June, who actually is on staff. June, stand up a second. Come on, June, no, humor me. Come on, come right here so everybody can see you, even on the camera, real quick. So look, right here. This is what you get to do when you're the boss, right? So look. So June is Filipino, Dominican, German, what else? Puerto Rican, and American Indian. That's a United Nations packed into one person. Let's go. Last service, he was in the back. I was like, dude, what are you? But now watch this. Christian Baker, Tom Muldoon, and June said, Tom is called my son. Many times his son Noah's 18, right? Noah's 18. He's called my son and encouraged my son and checking on my son. Okay? You know what that is? That's what the body of Jesus Christ should look like. That's what the body of Jesus Christ should be like. In the wisdom of God, he brings us from all of these different parts of the world, all of these different walks of life, and he makes us family. He makes us one. We don't just say, my brother or my sister. We mean it in the kingdom. As we serve one another for the glory of God. How many want your life to bring glory to Jesus? Come on, somebody say amen.